Welcome to this week's episode of WDKN's Jesus Roundtable, where ministers gather around the Word and spend time discussing the most important person in all of human history. Pull up a chair, grab your Bible, and join us at the table.
Welcome, everyone, to the Interfaith Roundtable, to your hometown station, WDKN 101.5, the 1FM. And we have a good show for you today. And before we get started, we're just going to announce the gentlemen that are with us, and they are...
Hey, I'm Matthew Hyatt from Burns Church of Christ.
Richard Rain with Eastern European Mission.
Howard Wingo from Freedom Baptist.
All right, and we are in week 9 of our study. If you have gone to our website, JesusRoundtable.com, you can look at the information there. Or you can go to Facebook / Jesus Roundtable, and also can hear us every Sunday at 4. We are in section 9 of our 52-week study, Ending the Beginning, and we are going to be reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 39 through 52. So if you have a Bible and you can read along with us, please do. Richard?
Starting in verse 39, it says, "And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their hometown of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress.' And he said to them, 'Why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?' And they did not understand the saying that he had spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man."
All right. And Matthew, before we get started on this, in your notes, you make a good point that for some reason people always are thrown by how they could leave Jesus by himself. And it kind of sidetracks you a little bit of what's really going on here.
Yeah, so. You know, if your kid goes missing in the mall for 30 seconds, I mean, what is it at Walmart? A code Adam where they lock the doors and get the massive Walmart security forces come and, you know, don't let anyone in and out. And how long did the text say it was before they were reunited?
3 days.
Yeah.
Well, they missed him at the end of the first day. It wasn't the second day. And I grew up in a time when families would come together, and I might be with my cousins all day long, and my parents knew where I was.
Yeah.
So this is not a strange thing, because they had not been to the mall.
Yeah.
It's a different...
And Howard, we were joking before the show. You guys know that we record this. It's not a live show. Trying to get ministers together in a room on Sunday is nearly impossible, so it's Thursday. When we're talking today, but we're talking about some generational differences. We were talking about names of people that I didn't recognize that Howard knew very well, you know. And if you don't know, Howard and I are at least 5 years apart in age, something like that. But the reason we bring up this difference is because a lot of our younger listeners, especially, you read this story to a mom, and she just goes, "What?" You know. But this is a different time, a different place.
You speak of the difference. There are probably 30 years or more difference between us. I'm 77, and I think you're what, in your 20s?
I'm 30.
30. Okay.
There you go.
So there is.
Can you do the math?
40 years different. Bring my calculator.
So, in our culture, in our society, things have changed in these last 30 or 40 years. And today, it would be different.
Yeah. So, yeah. And absolutely.
But when you go back 2,000 years, that was not a big deal.
Of course, it can still happen in today if you have the right circumstances in the right place.
Yeah.
What was going through my mind as y'all were speaking is thinking of families that go to amusement parks. I know having grown up in the Dallas area, we'd go to Six Flags. Sometimes you'd go in large groups and you'd all of a sudden realize that, wait a minute, so-and-so's missing. And
yes, go home, go. Yeah.
And I thought, you know, somebody would say, well, I thought he was with you, and somebody else would go, no, I thought he was with you. And so it's kind of like that Home Alone experience that you know, everybody thought somebody else was taking care of it. You look up and realize it, but now for it to go a full day, that's pretty amazing.
And I think the main point is when you read scripture, you have to understand the cultural differences.
Yeah.
And that's a good point that you made in the lesson, to go back and look it up and see these things. That was, you know, their culture and our culture are completely different.
Yeah, there's point. I mean, obviously, there's still people. People mm-hmm. have always been people mm-hmm. who are jealous and petty and dumb, you know. Yeah. But the norms, one of the things I have in the notes, if you have a book in front of you, Bible background commentaries are some of my favorite sorts of commentaries. You know, studying words is really important. Word study books are great. But the Bible background commentaries help me relate to this as people. And one of the things, the InterVarsity Press Bible Background Commentary New Testament is one of the ones I go to a lot. And no, they're not sponsoring the show, but if you're listening and you'd like to, they mention, you know, people traveled in caravans and, you know, we picture getting in the car, and maybe you get in, a Dodge Caravan, but barely two or three cars together. Everybody walks together, and like Howard said, the families are all intermingled. You know, the kids would be playing, the dads would be talking, the moms would be gossiping, and, you know, you have this big scene, because this is one of the pilgrimage times. Mm. You know, this is everybody travels together, and just imagine that scene.
I imagine it was a very large group.
Yeah.
How long a journey was that? I'm not. Was that a 2 or 3 day journey? Mostly on foot.
That would be my hunch, but I don't. Yeah. I didn't look that up.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. But at the end of the first day, they wanted to make sure he was there.
Yes.
And when they didn't find him at the.
When it's time to go to bed, the families probably would be checking in with each other. You know, when it's time to eat.
Yeah, and they would come from whatever town they were in, right? They would come as a group to the appointed feast days where they had to be in Jerusalem. So they did it all the time. They did it every year.
That's a pretty good haul, because you're talking the northern end of Israel to the middle southern end.
This is a regular part of their life. They would do it every year for the required feast. So just a little background before we get into the chapter. When we get to verse 40, it says here, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
Yeah, and you know, the end of the story has almost the same words in verse 52. Mm. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And I kind of think that's almost like Luke is bookending this story to say, do you want a picture of what Jesus' growth in wisdom, stature, and favor looked like? Now, I don't remember if we asked a question about this or not, but it strikes me as kind of funny. I don't have a hard time picturing Jesus increasing in stature. He was a human boy, so he got tall. Mm. And wisdom, I don't even really have trouble with that, because I understand that he was a human child. So, you know, of course he got smarter.
Yeah.
In favor with man, I can get that, because, you know, kids go through a pretty obnoxious phase, you know. So
I looked at the word stature, and it was a particular time period, but almost involved the whole, not just your whole growth period.
Your standing.
Everything you were at that time period. So his personality, his intellect, everything would have been growing normally as a young boy was.
But that line, he increased in favor with God, really caught my attention. Mm. Yeah. How's that even possible?
Because you think of him as being totally in favor from birth. That, you know, he was perfect. So that is something that, maybe it's just put there to remind us that he's has that favor of God, you know, because you've got to believe that God.
I think, of course, everybody here knows, but there may be people listening who don't understand that Jesus was 30 years old before he began his ministry. And part of that was because the priest was supposed to be 30 years old when they ascended their office.
And how old is he here?
12 years old. So from his birth to his death and resurrection, there's a lot of mystery. And this is one of the very few accounts given, maybe the only account given, of his life between his birth and his ministry, when he began his ministry. Right. So what happened during those 20 years, 30 years? What happened in there? This is the only, and I think he's just trying to show us that he was, trying to show us, I think, to me, that there was the human side.
Yes, right? Absolutely. Yeah.
That's what I take from
it. Yeah,
that.
I agree.
There is a lot of questions. Well, did he perform miracles during those days? And I don't know. There's myths and stories written, but there's no scripture to support it. Right.
And Howard, that's Jewish a great point.
May have a better record of things that happened during that time. I don't know.
But, you know, the scripture gives us very little.
Right.
So it's kind of natural that people tend to start trying to fill in those blanks, whether it's accurate or not. A whole lot of apocryphal stories exist, and I don't put a ton of stock in that. It's interesting, but...
There's an entire gospel, right? I forget the name of it, but it was written 200 years later, and it's Gnostic. But
yeah,
all kinds of crazy miracles and things in there that he did.
What I find amazing is his parents. Now, they knew where he came from.
Yeah.
I mean, Joseph knew that was not his son. That's God's son. They knew that. But there seemed to be times when... they would wonder, well, what's he going to do next?
You know, yeah.
Or right. What is he capable of doing? Or does he not know? There's a lot of questions raised. And then we know the first miracle recorded was at the wedding feast when he's 30 years old. And it says, this is the beginning of miracles. But I'm wondering, something must have happened in there because his mother knew that he was going to take care of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's so much left out. I mean, we never hear what ever happened to his... to Joseph.
Right.
Man, I would love to know too.
Yeah.
I think it's
record.
I think it's important, the point we're making, that Jesus was human. Right? Yeah, really. We focus on the deity, but from this passage, it seems that he had to learn the scriptures, and we'll get into it later in the passage, the same as everybody else. He just didn't have foreknowledge of the scriptures, it seems.
Yeah.
He had to learn from other teachers, as we'll see as we go down. He had to learn the scriptures. So when he first broke on the scene, he went to Isaiah and he opened the scroll and went to it.
Yeah.
He had to learn that, you know, even though he wrote it, even though he's eternal.
Well, that could be debated now.
It could be debated. It could be. But I think this is, you know, it's showing that he's growing in stature.
But it shows at 12 years old he had a knowledge far superior to any other.
Mm. Well, he had a thirst. You're right. You're right.
But he could... he could ask them questions and answer their questions. The 12-year-old's not going to be able to do.
Mm.
So his knowledge was way past his age.
Right.
Oh, totally, totally.
Yeah,
but, you
there's
know,
no doubt.
Even today, sometimes when you see that standout who cares about God, that's knowledge is far above, even if it doesn't come supernaturally, but it comes. Perhaps even somewhat supernaturally,
right.
But because...
through the Holy Spirit.
Through the Spirit,
right.
Their passion for God and His... Jesus, in this story, makes so clear where His home is. You know, they came from the hometown of Nazareth.
Yeah.
But what does He call the temple? Yeah. You know, I had to be at my father's house,
yeah.
My father's business. That's where I had to be. Yeah. You think Joseph, when he said that, kind of looked out and said, well, what's my house? Chopped liver, you know? but Jesus... is living, like you said, Richie, died two worlds. He is the God-man, and I don't get how that fits in one person. It seems like they'd explode, but somehow that's the miracle of incarnation.
Well, I think that we're guilty sometimes. As ministers, we look at him only as deity.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people look at him only as a human.
Yeah.
And to bring the two together is difficult for us, even though the men in this room, ministers for many years, study the scriptures, there is still something that we can't fully grasp. But look at the disciples. They walked with him 3 years, and they still had difficulty.
One of the things that really surprises me in the stories always about Mary and Joseph is they knew where he came from, and I can understand that when he did something or said something that they might question him, but when he says something that is a reminder of who he is, they're always still amazed and in awe.
Yeah.
When you would think they would go, Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I slipped. I forgot.
My bad, Lord.
I forgot who you were. That just, I find interesting that they're always amazed still. I'm like, you know, I'm thinking if you know a child was born without it being the normal method, that you would not be much surprised by anything from that point.
And one thing I thought about too, okay, Jesus is born, and the scripture doesn't tell us how much time passes before Herod issues that decree to have all the children killed, but he gives a decree to kill everyone under two. So that makes me think there's a reasonable likelihood a year has passed.
Right.
You know, maybe even up to two. But you have that. He stays in Egypt, what, 2 years? Am I making that up?
I believe that's true.
I think that's
right.
He was
there for a period of time.
So, you know, he could have been four when he got home, potentially. And so that time between 4 and 12 is getting shorter, you know. Right. So we're getting closer and closer to the, okay, we remember where you came from. We remember what happened when you were born. We remember when we went to Egypt for 2 years because of who you are. And now we come back to the temple. And like you said, it's almost like they've forgotten. And I do think this is a good place to remind our listeners. Most of you who are listening tend to make the same mistake that we've just described. You tend to either say Jesus is a good teacher, but he's not really God, or you have a picture that he is God so much that you've forgotten that he's a human just like you are.
Yeah. So, you know, it comes to my mind, and I don't know whether it should even, but during those years as a child, did he play with other children, whatever games they played? You know, did they swing on a rope and drop into the water? Those kinds.
If he played Monopoly, he would have lost his religion. Yeah. So, you know.
Did he have a normal childhood in relation to other children?
Well, yeah. I mean, think of this. Did he get chicken pox? Did he ever have any kind of, you know, did he ever get sick?
Yeah.
We don't know that. There's just so many things that you'd love to know.
Right.
What took place. I mean, as you mentioned, playing with the other kids, you know, what kind of games would he have played? How did he spend his days? Was it mostly spent with dad learning how to make, you know, as one movie showed him, I think if I remember right, there wasn't there a movie that somebody showed him as a boy inventing the first dining room chair?
I don't remember that.
Because of him being a carpenter, they had him making a chair. And of course, you know, they had low tables that they reclined at. Yeah. So the implication was, is he made this chair. And it seems to me, I don't remember what movie this was, but they were commenting that, well, it'll never catch on.
I heard one thing once, you know, the word that we usually translate carpenter is, I think, technon, which means worker, basically, a builder. So we always, when you hear carpenter, you and I always assume woodworker or framer or something like that. But that's also the same word used to describe stone workers who worked at the temple building building and repairing the temple. And read one commentator said, wouldn't it have been interesting if he had been in his older life somebody who built the synagogue? Or built, you know, because he literally did, and he figuratively did, and he literally did the time again. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, this is so good, and we'll get back to it. A lot of more information packed in this passage, and we'll get back to that right after this short commercial break. Thank you for tuning in to the Interfaith Roundtable here on your hometown station.
While we're away on a quick message break, could you help us out? If you're listening to this show on iTunes, take just a minute and leave us a review. It'll only take a second, and it's the best way to get word out about the show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for helping. Now back to this week's episode of the Interfaith Roundtable.
Welcome back to the second half of the Interfaith Roundtable. If you missed the first half, we encourage you to go to our website, JesusRoundtable.com, and you can hear the lesson in full. The notes will be there, and as well as past shows. We are in week 9. Probably taking us more than 9 weeks. We had a couple, two shows on one section, but we're in section 9, and we're in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to go to verse 46, and I'll read that quickly to remind us. It's Luke chapter 2, verse 46. Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously."
This is just a fun story, isn't it? I mean, there's so much right here. So Jesus is missing. They didn't notice it. They supposed he was in the group. When they realized he wasn't in the group, they had her turn the car back around, and they go back to the temple, and they start looking, and they find him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening and asking questions. This is kind of a cool scene to picture this conversation. I wish I knew what the questions were, you know.
But this was traditional as well, right? When they would get together, the young, the 12, 13-year-olds would, this is their time, right? When they turn 12, when do they get bar mitzvah or whatever? 12 or 13. So this has been the initiation into their learning.
But that was not the purpose for them being there, though.
Right.
Because if it had been, they would have been there. They came from one of the traditional
feasts. But that was also tradition.
This was the Passover feast.
Right, for the Passover feast. But in that area, that's where the teachers were.
Yeah.
And that would have been his first year there, probably.
Well, and it's still popular and common in a lot of the religious world to teach the young via catechism, question and answer.
I'd like to go back and ask about Mary and Joseph. Now, they had gone a day's journey and it took a day to get back.
Yeah.
So does that include the 3 days that they looked for him? So they're at least 2 days in Jerusalem, perhaps three, looking for him. And you would think, under the circumstances, that's the first place they would have went.
Mm.
But where did they go for those 2 or 3 days looking for him?
I think I read it a little different. I got the sense that it took him a day to realize he was missing.
Yeah.
And then it took him a day to get back to Jerusalem. And it was on the third day.
Yeah, okay, that's very possible.
I don't know if that's right either. What I do think is interesting, and maybe I'm looking too much into this as a type or something, but it's funny that in the first two chapters of Luke, Jesus goes missing for 3 days. And as our listeners are no doubt aware, at the end of the story, what happens? But 3 days, you know, and it's almost parallel, you know.
That's interesting.
And where do you think he was going to be those 3 days he was missing at the end of the book? Well, he was about his father's business, one way or another,
right.
And you know,
I never thought of that.
And do you remember I don't remember which. This may have been Luke. It may have been one of the other Gospels. Do you remember the question that the gardener or Jesus asks the women at the tomb? Why do you seek the living among the dead? I've always loved that question. And here Jesus says something. Why were you looking for me? Why didn't you know I had to be here?
Yeah.
This is, where else was I going to be?
Yeah.
That's really great. Man, Howard.
Yeah, I always looked at the 3 days, and I understand what you're saying. You're probably right. But I always looked at it. They spent 3 days in Jerusalem looking for him, but they had been gone a day and a day back.
So that may
be the third day.
Well, you know, the kind of things that I think about, too, is that what did he do as far as eating and drinking and sleeping during that time?
I don't think he's worried about it.
He could certainly have taken care of that. But at that point, we had no record of any miracles, so we don't know whether he would have done it by a miracle or whether he would have,
maybe the priest brought him home with him and said.
Yeah. But then think of this also. If his parents would have said to themselves, oh, he's back at the temple teaching. He can take care of himself. Let's go on home. Now you're talking about a 12-year-old walking miles by himself to catch up. So if they hadn't gone back for him, what would it have been like?
It's just a neat story. Like you said, Howard, it captures this humanity and divinity together so powerfully.
Yeah.
You know, this method of asking questions is a legitimate thing. You ask questions to get information, but if you know the Jewish method of teaching, you also know asking questions was a favorite method of teaching. So I kind of get the sense he's doing a little bit of both, and people are just amazed. But his parents saw it. They were astonished in verse 48. In verse 47, everyone who heard him was amazed. So, you know, this is a scene that does stand out.
Yeah. If for a young kid, for them to be able to do that is different.
Yeah, I teach a teen class. I'll say, what's your name? They just stare at me, you know? Who created the heavens and the earth?
Well, they've always been here. What do you mean who created them?
But I can imagine how they felt. I mean, you know, we've all seen, you know, child prodigies that are, you know, amazing with playing musical instruments or math, maybe their genius level and they're doing mathematic problems that I can't do it 60.
Yes. Some years ago, I watched a story of a young boy. I think he was from India. He's like maybe not even this old, and he's teaching doctors how to do surgery. Right. And he's like 8 or 9 years old. But I mean, it's a true story.
Yeah.
Well, he's got smaller fingers. It's easier for him to do surgery.
So I guess that really, does that not explain that they would have looked at him and said, this boy's a genius, but not necessarily recognize that it's because he's the son of God?
I can see that possibility. We're looking at it from this side.
Right. Yeah.
With the knowledge of the scriptures. And so it's...
In verse 50, it's interesting, too, because after he says, you know, why did you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. It's almost like there's, you know, there's certain portions where the disciples were blinded.
Yeah.
I think could there be some of that?
Maybe so.
Maybe it's just too much for someone to handle the fact that here's God and man in one person, it's my kid.
Well, they still did not understand the purpose of all of this. I mean, really, I don't think they did. Mary was told that she was going to be mother of the Messiah, but they didn't understand the crucifixion and his death. They didn't understand all those things.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
You know, even if you have some sort of picture, so Josiah was king at 8. He was the exception, not the rule. David did not become king at 8. Right. You know, you're the mother. You're thinking, all right, when he's 30 or 40, you know, he's going to become a priest or a king or not a priest, but you know what I mean. Yeah, he's going to become important. He's 12 now.
Yeah.
So what do you mean? But at the same time that I see his boldness, don't you know, mom and dad say, why did you worry us so? Moms have been saying the same thing for all time. You're going to kill me. You know, why'd you make me worry? Why were you looking for me? Was his question. Didn't you know I had to be here? They didn't understand. But verse 51 gives us another word that's important to see about teenage Jesus. He was submissive to them.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting. The Lord of heaven and earth honored his father and mother.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. He was without sin.
Now, this is where all the teenage listeners just turned off the radio.
This
is where all the moms said, son, get in here. Exactly. You need to hear this. But
as we think about his parents still not having full understanding.
Yeah.
The disciples walked with him for 3 years. They still didn't have full understanding. So is it difficult for us to understand that we don't have full understanding? There's still some things. Even though we've read the scriptures, we know he's coming back. But do we still have full understanding of all that debt encompasses?
No.
So the thing is, it's important for everybody. As ministers, certainly we need to be in the Word, learning and studying, but it's important for everybody. For our listeners, it's important to try to understand more. Not that any of us will ever have perfect knowledge.
I think also, you know, in this day and age with so much information, people tend to get arrogant with their views.
Yeah.
And I think humility. We have to have more humility, patience with someone that disagrees with us. Yeah. You know, the fundamentals of the faith, that's a different story. Right. But on the certain
But even with those, we need to have patience with those who don't understand them yet.
Right.
Yeah, there may be another lesson in this, too. It just hit me as parents. Maybe we need to listen to our kids and try to understand why they've done what they've done.
No, wait a minute. Let's be careful.
Hang on.
I'm trying to get back that teenage audience that Matthew lost.
As long as they're subject to us, they have no problem with the rest of what they do.
Well, there is that respect issue. Right? But I mean, seriously, you know, they didn't just walk up and react in a way that we might have reacted with a child that took off on their own without telling us.
I don't know if this is where we need to go or not, but I'm listening to you, and there's always a thing. The child will ask why, because I said so. And, when I begin to be a father, I'll never do that, but then they do. So I see that side of this thing. You're saying we need to listen to our children. And so we're the parent. We know. And a child tries to correct us, but that doesn't sit well, does it?
Well, and don't misunderstand what I said. I'm saying ask the child why before you tear into them. But after they've told you why, you might still do it. I just, what comes to my mind is I remember watching, and we were talking about old shows earlier before we got on the air, and we're the old show of Andy Griffith. And I remember in one show, Andy is really struggling with Opie because of the fact that Opie was, he thought, was blowing his money on things for himself. Mm-hmm. He didn't know where you know, Opie's money was going, and he was just really upset and wanting to even start punishing him. And then all of a sudden he finds out that if he had just asked, what Opie was doing was putting his money away to buy a coat for a child at school that his family couldn't afford a coat. And so sometimes our kids may be up to something that's really perfectly good and very honorable, possibly even, but we haven't taken the time to ask them. So that's where I was coming from. Right. Mm-hmm. So in this case, you know, so they walk up and just ask him, you know, for me, I'm thinking a mom would have run up and thrown their arms around him, and a dad would have been looking for a switch, you know. So I think it's interesting that they took the approach they did, and look at what happened because of their approach. You know, he was submissive to him. Mm.
There's just so many lessons here that we could think about how people relate to each other.
Right.
Mary and Joseph honored. They didn't understand completely, but they honored the fact that their child had a desire to be near the Lord. And this is maybe leaving the text a little too far, but I think that's a challenge our parents need to hear. Are we making space for our children to pursue God? Are we making that a priority? And if you're listening, moms and dads, and your faith isn't strong and your kids is, are you encouraging that and learning from it? One of the things that frustrates me sometimes when I do youth work is I run into parents who put their all into making sure the kids are on the best travel ball team, and they're all into making sure they've got the best tutor and the best grades, and they're in AP, and they're in dual enrollment, but the thing that always gets cut is church when there's a conflict. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we may have some different opinions on some of this. You know, if your state championship ball game falls one time a year and it's on Wednesday night, personally, I'd say go and win.
Right.
But if practice every week is on Wednesday night, I think that's different. Mm-hmm. You know, and at some point, do we ever make a sacrifice for our faith? I'm not saying you have to sacrifice every single time, but does faith ever win in your house? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
One of my mentors lived in Kansas many years ago, and he was a pastor, and his two sons were like two of the best players on the football team, and they rescheduled a game for Wednesday night, and he went to the school board and said, they're not playing. No matter what, they're not playing.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a big game, too. And after time, they literally changed the game to a different night. Mm-hmm. And you see that down here in a lot of ways, right? They don't, the North and the South, the idea that they would not give homework out or have games on Wednesday night because there's church was mind-blowing to me. Yeah. Because up North, yeah, that's I never heard of anything like that.
I think that's going away around
here. It is. But
that brings to mind the chariots of, what was that about, the British Olympian?
Chariot of the Gods.
Chariot of the Gods.
Yeah.
He was an Olympian. He won a gold medal, but he refused to run on the Sabbath. Mm. And the king questioned him, and the king respected him.
Yeah, it's priorities.
So he put his faith first.
Right. Right.
And yeah. I know that's not exactly a direct parallel to this story, but Jesus' desire was to be about his father's business.
Exactly.
Mm. And, you know, the scripture doesn't say, and then Joseph grabbed the switch and beat the tar out of him, you know.
It seems like the parents, Mary and Joseph, were thinking that he was challenging their authority as parents. Mm. And that's where maybe sometimes we have a child that's gifted, but we're still... I'm still daddy, you know. Yeah. So.
Well, it's a wonderful story, and I'm sure all of us are thinking, would we love to have had more stories of his childhood?
Yeah.
It would have been wonderful to know more of his daily life as a child. I think we'd have really been in awe.
Yeah. And why do you think it is? Why do you think there aren't more stories? There's got to be a reason, right? There's only one.
You know,
what do you think that is?
I just think that we would have gotten obsessed. You know, what do we do with the Christmas story? We rip out all of the parts that have meaning, and we latch on to the sentimentality of it. In a comedy movie that I probably shouldn't have admitted to seeing, nor will I name, you know, had a scene where the main character gets together at the family table, and he starts praying to, you know, dear sweet baby Jesus, 6-pound, 3-ounce baby Jesus. And, you know, I don't know anybody that actually prays that way.
Yeah.
But we sometimes just want to, oh, he's in the manger, isn't that cute? Mm-hmm. And look at him as a kid. And I think sometimes those stories distract us from what he came to do. I don't know. That's kind of my theory.
Well,
I think you're right.
The Lord gave us the scriptures we needed. And go back to Genesis. I mean, there's several hundred years covered in just
different right.
chapters.
Yeah.
Right. So there's
only so much.
There's only so much that we need to know, right. for one thing. Only so much that we can retain. And so in the life of the Lord, was it John that wrote, if everything was written, the books wouldn't contain them.
Right.
Yeah.
So the Lord especially gave
if these
us
are,
enough.
If these are normal years, if he's yeah. if John 2 is his first miracle,
yeah.
you know, do we really need a book about
right.
a teenager who
what
was
he
good?
Did when he was 18?
You know,
yeah.
And did he graduate as valedictorian?
Did he play football?
It certainly would have been for good material for a teen Bible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's it would have been helpful in that area, definitely.
But, you know, we have, like you said, we have what we need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Any last statements, anybody? All right. Well, hope you enjoyed this lesson, Ending the Beginning, Section 9, Week 9 of our study. And Lord willing, we'll go to 10 next week, and you'll be able to hear that. Don't forget, turn to our website. Go to our website, JesusRoundtable.com, or like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/JesusRoundtable.com. I'm Richie G, and for the guys, thank you for listening to the Interfaith Roundtable.
Thanks for listening to WDKN's Jesus Roundtable. Listen live on Sundays at 4 at WDKN 1260 AM or 101.5 The One, or download the podcast from iTunes or JesusRoundtable.com.